Well, I am very thankful for what is taking place here this morning, recognizing God is leading our service. And I think the best way I can honor what God is doing among us is to not keep you late, but to adjust the sermon and say, Holy Spirit, show us what you've laid on my heart, what is to be shared this morning. So I just want to, I don't always think we honor God just by going long, and I have to get every word in that I prepared to say to you all today. No, I'm going to trust that God is going to lead me to say what I prepared that we need to hear today, not the whole, there's other Sundays for more of this. You know, as we are looking at this precious scripture from the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, we know that's our commission. Sometimes we feel guilty for not doing it enough, and there may be places for us to experience that conviction. I know I do. There's opportunities that I don't always follow through in obedience to what God is showing us to do. But I want to focus this morning on the last part of the Great Commission, the very last word of the book of Matthew, where it says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is talking about the presence of God. The presence of God. That is one of the most wonderful things we have in a Christian life. The presence of God. Emmanuel means God with us. And I really feel like sometimes if we are driven by guilt of not sharing enough or I just need to witness more to somehow earn approval for God, that we can end up doing that in ways that just communicate more legalism. But when we are experiencing the presence of God, we are able to impart that good news to other people. The good news being that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and your sins, and he rose again, and he ascended into heaven, and he gave us the gift of his Holy Spirit that lives within us. And when we are living in that presence and experiencing that kind of relationship with God, then I believe that evangelism, sharing our faith, becomes something that flows out of us in a natural kind of way, not in a forced kind of way. Because, you know, you can talk to someone and you can argue with someone and persuade them and you can have the best arguments in the world, but if the Holy Spirit is not changing that person's heart, you can argue someone into a corner and get nowhere. And God can come along and use the most feeble bumblings of any of us and change a heart. And that's the good news of the Great Commission. But first, it's what does it mean to experience the presence of God? And you know, there are times I find myself praying publicly in this way. I say, Lord God, be present here among us. That's maybe a good prayer, but then I find myself saying, what am I saying? God, you're already here. You're present. The problem is not with God. The problem is often on our parts of not knowing how, or not paying attention and engaging the presence of God that is already here. And there's a scripture that I just love. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. That's describing what it means to live in the presence of God. God is here. He's not far from any of us. But it's learning this habit of, help me, Lord. God, I need you. Crying out to the Lord in any moment of any experience. And if you're like me, the problem is I get distracted with other things and I get distracted with my own agendas or my own ideas or my own attitudes. But we are at our best when we are living in a sense of, God, you're here. You're here? You're helping me? You're helping give wisdom and insight through the Holy Spirit? What a tremendous, tremendous gift. And it's in those ways then we're prepared to share faith as God opens doors. You know, I think it's really this presence of God, there are things we can do to in our lives to adjust ourselves so that we experience more of God's presence. And I was reminded of this when I think about years back when I was falling in love with my wife, Jennifer, before we were married, and we were there in college together, and I really wanted to get to know her. And I wanted to get to know her casually first before I would take the step of asking her out. Thought that would be good. And it just wasn't happening. I wasn't finding chances to talk to her. She was there, and we weren't crossing paths very much naturally with that. And so I began to scheme a little bit. This is going to sound like I was stalking her. I wasn't. But I began to watch her habits. And I'd see that she had an 8 o'clock class in the science center, and she had ornithology over there, and she would walk across the turf field at 7:50 in the morning. I remember that. I remember that she would go then from the science center up to chapel, and I remember she would often go from the chapel then up to the computer lab. This is real. And I began to adjust my life so that I would have more casual run-ins with her. And I even, here's a admission to you, Easter, I actually did this. I knew Jen was visiting a friend up here in Pennsylvania, in Lancaster. So I sort of accidentally got myself stranded up here in Lancaster. I got a ride up here, and I, whoops, forgot to find a ride back. And I called her up at this friend's house, and I said, hey, can you help me out here? I need a ride back. I understand you're up in Lancaster, and you're going back to Harrisonburg. So we rode back to Harrisonburg together. At that point, she's starting to get a little suspicious, but you get the idea that to experience the presence of God, we need to adjust ourselves to what God is doing. And one of the ways we see that is find out what's important to God and start doing those things that are on God's heart, and you will find that there are ways you will experience the presence of God in ways that if you weren't doing those things. Now, it's just not so simple as I'm making it sound. But that's the basic idea. And there's a story was told of a chaplain who was asked to come and speak to some women in prison. And she said, yeah, I'll do it. And it was a year away. And during that next year, she had a really rough year. Her marriage fell apart, actually. She was just a mess. And 2 weeks before she was supposed to go and minister in that prison to these women, she said, this is ridiculous. Who am I to share a Bible study? My life's a wreck. But she couldn't bring herself to cancel, to do that. And so she went ahead and did that, and she was blessed beyond measure. And she couldn't, it was like she was shocked by how blessed she was by ministering in that prison when she herself felt so broken. And then she found a verse in the Bible that made it all make sense. It was that verse that said, when I was in prison, Jesus said, when I was in prison, you visited me. And she all of a sudden dawned on her, you were in prison, Jesus. And without realizing it, I visited you and you blessed me. And her point to us was, when we do those things that the scriptures show us are important to God, we find ourselves experiencing the blessing of God's presence. Now, I'm not saying that if you, you know, go visit someone in the hospital or you take a meal to someone who's struggling that you're just going to have tingles up your spine and be like, experience the presence of God. No, but it's something that places us in a position to be in dependence upon God in new ways. Because this woman, when she went into that prison in such a broken state, she was crying out to the Lord, saying, God, I have nothing for these folks. And God showed up to her and poured out his presence upon her. I want to share just a few simple points here, and maybe this will be another message. Maybe I'll just continue this next week. But I just want to say, I think this Great Commission passage shows us some ways that we can experience more of God's presence. And the first point I'll make, I have 5 points, I'm probably not going to share them all. The first point is this. Jesus told the disciples, when he encountered them after the resurrection, he said, I want you to meet me on the mountain. Go to Galilee and I want to meet you there. And so the disciples met Jesus there at this mountain. And I think this is a really interesting point. Do you ever notice how many times after the resurrection, Jesus tells his disciples to go do something? Go here. Go tell this person, go do this, wait here in Jerusalem until, you know, he's giving them instructions. And what I really see here is, you want to experience the presence of God, get ready for God to tell you to do some things that maybe make you a little uncomfortable, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus is telling, he's giving his disciples instructions. God will give you instructions. And I've been encouraged by someone to say, you know, when you wake up in the morning, a great prayer to say to God is, okay, God, where are we going today? Now, you may know very well where you have to go. Some of you got to go to school. You got to go to work. And some of you have more flexibilities in your schedules than others. But within that routine that you've got, let's take school students, for example, you got to go to school. But God may tell you to go to the other side of the cafeteria, to a place you don't normally go or a place you don't normally sit. Oh, you say, oh, we have assigned seats. No, no. Well, there's some ways God is telling you to do something. God will give you instructions. How many of you have seen the movie Wonder? You ever see that movie? Great, great movie. It's about this little boy who is born with a facial disformation. How to say it right? His face is deformed. And it shows the story of him going to school for the first time in the middle school. And you can imagine, he was people didn't know what to think of him. They were grossed out by him. No one wanted to sit with him. And there's this powerful moment where there's this one little boy who leaves his group of friends and goes and sits with Augie. Did I say his name right? Is it Augie? Yeah, sits with Augie. Remember that part? Powerful part. Now, this is not a Christian movie per se, but it's a great example of the kind of thing the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And sometimes we say, how do I know when God's speaking to me? Well, if God tells you to go and sit with someone, befriend someone who's lonely, is that the kind of thing that Jesus would do? Yes. I think we learn to listen to the voice of God by saying, God, would this be the kind of thing you would tell me to do? And if you're not sure, that's the kind of thing God would tell you to do. And God gives us instructions. And the more we are obedient to those kind of promptings that the Holy Spirit gives us, the more that voice becomes distinct and clear. And I'm still figuring this all out. And I don't want to make it sound any easier than it is, because sometimes you're not sure. But one of the joys of the presence of God is that the Holy Spirit speaks. I'm going to share just one more point today, and then I'm going to close. And I think we'll pick this up another time. This is an incredible verse here. It says, when they saw him, this is verse 17, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That is a gift. That phrase, but some doubted, is a real gift to us. And it just feels like, wow, that's really honest. They worshiped, but some doubted. And I think it's telling us two things. One is we encounter the presence of God in worship. What a wonderful worship time this morning. I experienced that worship time this morning facilitated for me the presence of God. It helped me engage God's presence. God's not the one being changed. We are. My heart is changed when I worship in ways that allow me to be more aware and conscious of the reality of God. That's a wonderful thing. But it says here that some doubted. And what I think that is, it's a word of grace for us. You don't have to raise your hand for this, but I believe every one of you could name a time where you came to church and you were not feeling like being here. There's times where you're struggling with something. There's sometimes you've had a family argument on the way to church. I've heard that happens to some families, never to us. But you arrive here and you are not feeling like worship. And you feel like, I'm that one who's doubting right now. But you're here. And that's when God has the ability to change you, when you're here to show up. You know, I want to affirm our worship teams. Because never once, it may have happened here, but in all my years here at Groffdale, I've never heard a worship leader say this. This is one of my pet peeves. I've never heard it here at Groffdale. I've heard it other places, though, where a worship leader will get up front and say, you folks look like you're at a funeral. You know, you guys have got it. Come on, smile. Look alive here. Act like you love the Lord and scold the people. Because what I want to say to a worship leader like that is saying, aren't you glad those folks who may not have felt like coming to worship, they're here? Because it's then in being here that the Holy Spirit has the opportunity to minister to them through His presence. So those folks who show up for worship and maybe have a frown on their face, praise God they're here. That they overcame whatever reluctance they had and they came here to worship. Because then the Spirit of God can work. And sometimes you leave feeling still discouraged, but you can still trust that the presence of God is having its way in your life. So what I'm just trying to communicate here is a word of grace to us. You know, we come as we are. And sometimes you're emotionally feeling great and other times not so much. But the very scriptures tell us, here the disciples are, they're seeing the resurrected Jesus and they had trouble believing. And they doubted. And yet they worshiped anyway. And may that be a word to all of us. That our standing before Jesus is not dependent on our feelings. Feelings come and go. But our standing before God does not change. And it's when we come as we are to the presence of God that God is able to bring us hope and new life and encouragement and to speak to us and to give us instructions and to give us reassurance and to give us fresh courage. That's the presence of God. And I'm going to conclude right there. We'll have part two next week. I'm excited for the things that are yet to share. I think this is very much a two-part message anyway, the Great Commission. So let me just pray a prayer of blessing on each and every one of you. Lord God, we thank you for your presence. Your presence. Lord, I confess I don't always understand your presence. But you've told us that you're closer to any of us than we really realize. And that you're longing for us to reach out to you because you're not far away. And we confess that when we feel far away, we are the ones who have moved, not you. But we also rejoice that you're bigger than our feelings. And that as we come as we are, you transform us and you change us. And you love us. Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us can go forth this week into our workplaces, into our homes, our communities, and our neighborhoods, and help us to experience and to apprehend and to engage your presence in new ways. And I pray that you would then give us opportunities to communicate that hope to other people in ways that are genuine and authentic and not motivated by guilt, but motivated by just, I got to share what I'm experiencing in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Praise in Christ's name. Amen.